You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's so great to be back with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday evening, April the 13th, Confederate History Month continues tonight on TPC, and did we ever not kick it off in grand fashion last week with the one and only Gene Andrews profiling Nathan Bedford Forrest, especially the general's role in the Battle of Fort Pillow, putting history into accord with the facts we did last week. And we will continue to do that tonight and for the rest of the month as TPC is now smack dab in the middle of our annual Confederate History Month showcase. I'm James Edwards, Keith Alexander in the studio tonight. We're going to talk about this week's absurd congressional hearing on so-called white nationalism. So that's going to be the focal point of the first hour. Later in the show, we're going to welcome back to the broadcast Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. Fascinating presentation tonight. He's going to be talking to us about how Southerners inherited their fighting spirit and indeed their fighting style from their Celtic ancestors. So stay tuned for that. But before we get to any of it, we're going to take a pause very quickly and thank our audience for a most successful first quarter fundraising drive. Y'all made it a resounding success, and that support poured in last month from listeners, as we always say, across the country and around the world, which included both regular contributors and first-time donors. We received one letter in particular that we actually posted to the website earlier this week. I'd encourage you to go check it out. We actually read it for you a couple of weeks ago on the show, but we posted it to the website this week. It comes from a professional educator, he has been listening to the show since 2016, wrote in, sent a contribution in for the first time, sent just a magnificent letter. Talks about how he, like us, are Christian. He's a Christian. He's a pro-white advocate and 100% Southern. And how listening to our show reminds him that this identity is not only sane and healthy, but moral and right. So we posted that letter on the website. You can go check it out. I believe we posted it last Monday or Tuesday. But that letter really reinforced why we do what we do here at TPC, to reach men like him and families like his. That's what we're in this for. And so we're honored to have men like that make up our audience and to have built a show that would attract such high-quality individuals. And as long as men like that are in this world, our people will have a chance. And for our part, you sure can rest assured that we will never stop fighting for you. We'll never stop defending our faith and culture. Though the world may fall apart around us, so long as we have each other, we will maintain hope, courage, and a sense of optimism that can lead to the restoration of our nation. So we thank you again for your steadfast support. And we want to let you know, of course, that those of you who contributed $100 or more, which would qualify you for our special gift incentive, if you live in the United States and you contributed that amount, you should have already received in the mail a package from us. We sent the last of those out this week, so you should have them already. If you live abroad, it could take a little while longer. You know, Keith, that we have some listeners in Brazil. We have listeners in Europe and in Canada. In Brazil, it takes over a month to get a piece of to get a package, even if you send it priority mail, as we always do. So if you live outside of the United States, you may still be waiting, but they are en route. So be on the lookout, and you're going to have some great stuff in that package, including the Nathan Bedford Forrest flag. And, of course, we talked about him, as I just mentioned, last week. But as far as Confederate History Month is concerned, folks, don't be alarmed, but it's just a four-week series. Come May, it's back to business as usual. So savor every episode this month, why don't you? We want to leave you wanting more and motivate you to trace your ancestry and read more about these battles and the heroes who fought them throughout the year. And that's another reason we bring you this Confederate History Month series. Let's go now, Keith, to the mailbag, a little bit deeper dive into the mailbag. Our friend Gerald in Texas wrote last week, no better person to start Confederate History Month series than Gene Andrews. He's an old-school Marine athlete, truth-teller about Fort Pillow. Modern Marine Corps generals can take a lesson from Gene Andrews about what defending your country truly means. It is not what the Marine Corps is doing overseas now. Listener Jim in Michigan writes, both sets of my grandparents arrived in the United States in the early 1900s, so it's with some regret that I confess that I have no Confederate patrimony. As a product of the New York City public school system, It was always made clear to us who the good guys were and who were the bad guys. Not until my early 30s did this begin to change for me, and since then I've made several trips down south, including visits to Bryce's Crossroads, Fort Sumter, Montgomery, and its capital of the Confederacy, and Forest Park, where its magnificent statue of the general still stood. So as a Northerner, I'm happy to join you in the celebration of Confederate History Month. Does that make me a Copperhead? I look forward to the rest of this month's programming. That comes from Jim in Michigan. And that's what we want our brothers and our sisters outside of the South to be able to say. Listen to last week's show, and the Fort Pillow presentation was riveting. We'll listen to it again at least once. Thanks for that. Well, thank you for listening more than once to last week's presentation. Great show, James. Your coverage of Confederate History Month is always on point. And as you mentioned, it was great having Keith back this year for the celebration. Keep up the great work. And of course, Keith was out last year running for office. Now, I have got one more I want to read for you. This one was quite meaningful as well. Listen to this. Listener writes, for the first time into the show, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Alexander, I've been listening to the show for a few months now and enjoy each hour, but none as much as last weekend's show. Long story on how I was coaxed into seeing this movie. About an hour before, I listened to your show, and I had returned from seeing The Best of Enemies with my girlfriend. If you hadn't seen or heard of this film, I do not recommend it. It's the story of a Klan leader who is heads up a community alongside a black female activist who makes Stacey Abrams look like Miss Universe. The two become friends, and the Klan leader renounces his racism and becomes the deciding vote to bring forced busing and integration to the public school system in Durham, North Carolina. The movie left me feeling so dejected, not only for obvious reasons of portraying people like my grandparents who opposed integration as evil personified, but also because of the audience, a decently full theater of mostly older white people. Too many people truly hate their ancestors, or at least aren't proud of them. When I got home and was able to turn on your show, I felt proud again. Proud to have a rebel flag on my bedroom wall, and proud to have ancestors who fought on the correct side of the war of Northern aggression. You are so right. Pride does not begin to describe it. I am thankful for y'all's ancestors and for mine. Truly better men than us. As you can tell from my email, I'm currently in college. Just know that as I grow up, I pledge to live my life by the three TPC tenets, pro-Christian, pro-white, pro-Southern. If I do half as good a job as you and Keith, I'll be very satisfied. And he wrote, of course, his name, which we'll omit for obvious reasons. But here's to a great April, and to you as well, my friend. Keith, we appreciate the feedback we receive from all of our audience. That one from a college student writing in for the first time, a relatively new listener, just a couple of months into the broadcast. We really want to thank him for that. And I want to ask this gentleman, this young man, to send us another email with your mailing address. We want to send you a gift package if we could, sir. Keith?
It's wonderful to know that some of the youth of America is not being brainwashed, is not of taking the easy road out and doing what is convenient and what is fashionable by today's standards. The truth is never in fashion. We all need to remember that we are probably telling the truth just because we are so unfashionable in today's world. Nobody is going to be fashionable that tells the truth, James. And it's good to hear from that young man.
All right, with the mailbag now being depleted for tonight's show. Well, we didn't deplete it. Those were the ones we decided to read this week. But keep the letters, keep the notes, keep the Hallmark cards, keep the emails, keep it all coming in. We're here for you, and you're here for us. No organization has a more intimate and truly meaningful relationship with this audience than we do. We'll be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt, and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, Keith, we are actually about to get down to work tonight, but, you know, it's like I said, we've received so much love and support from our friends and fans. We wanted to take the first few minutes of the show tonight to just to do what we need to do and tell you thank you, because none of it happens without you. But I just got another one from one of our listeners here in the Memphis area, Keith. Thanks for the great flag and the book, which we sent out. And that comes from a listener here in the local area. I mentioned the college student, this young man who sent us in this very nice email. And I mentioned that he'd gone to the movie with his girlfriend, this anti-white movie. This white guilt movie, and he said that his girlfriend is the one who has normal GOP views, but after watching the movie about what integration has done to public school system, that he had this talk with her, and that she was very receptive to the discussion. And he ends his postscript by saying, as you and Keith demonstrate, when you are correct, people will listen. So anyway,
let me say one thing in response to that too. Okay?
Sure.
What does it say in the Bible? Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? If the school integration movement was so good, why have public schools declined so from 1954 and the date of the Brown decision? I mean, it used to be that anybody could get an excellent education at a public school. It didn't matter if you had the aptitude for higher math. They had someone there that could teach it to you. At least they could in Memphis, where I was. And nobody worried about where they went to school. Now people are up here, like we saw last week with this college admission scandal. People are spending millions of dollars to bribe officials to get their kids into particular colleges. And I'm sure they do the same thing for particular high schools and primary schools. And that's all another consequence of the bitter harvest of liberalism in America, particularly the integration of the public schools.
There has been a lot of trauma inflicted upon our people over the last several decades, but there has been a few silver linings as well, and perhaps people would consider us to be one of those. This listener right here writes, I love the TPC and the whole gang. I'm listening to you now for over 10 years from Europe. Thank God for you. God bless you, your family, and your friends. So from the listeners like this young man to elder statesman in Europe who's been listening for 10 years, and everyone in between, we thank you for tuning in tonight. Now, let's get to this congressional clown show. So as many of you know, America's criminally corrupt Congress held a sham hearing this week of the House Judiciary Committee to study the phantom menace of so-called white nationalism. Now, what are they calling white nationalism? Are they calling me and you white nationalists? Are they calling people who believe that their ancestors, their grandparents weren't evil people? Is that what a white nationalist is? They don't define it, and they use the terms white nationalist. And I watched a lot of this. They used the terms white nationalist, white supremacist, white separatist interchangeably as if they're all the same. They probably know better, but they might not. I mean, we can't take anything for granted.
Never underestimate the stupidity of our opponents.
Well, I mean, they're evil people. They are stupid and they are evil. And they say that crimes committed as a result of white nationalism are up 25%. Well, what does that mean? Is it up 25% from 1%? So that would mean, you know, white nationalists are responsible for 0.25% of the crime. They're dishonest to the core, because we know that so-called white nationalists have committed, you know, there's been, what, four of them in the last 10 years, Dylann Roof. If you believe any of these things, that they weren't false flags and they weren't the results of psychotropic drugs, face value, give it to them at face value. Dylann Roof, the guy in New Zealand, I don't, you know, again, tons of evidence there that wasn't as it, you know, that, anyway. But give it to him, though. That guy, Dylann Roof, the guy that shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh, and then one guy, I think, in Sweden or Norway.
Norway, Anders Breivik.
All right, so they got four. Four people in 10 years. I don't know.
And that one in Norway just barely gets under the tape for being 10 years. I think that was like 2010 or 29 or something like that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you give it all to, I mean, and having congressional hearings, and I think the members of the committee were three blacks, three Jewish people, three, I think there
and
was
normally
one.
When they had the House Committee on Un-American Activities, HUAC, back in the late 40s, early 50s, Richard Nixon was on it. He was one of the primary interrogators. They were going after communists. At least they let the communists show up in Congress and speak for themselves and try to defend themselves. In this particular case, none of the people was even white, at least unambiguously.
Well, that's another thing. So they brought in Candace Owens to
be the token white person, and she's black as ace of spades.
And you know who else that the Republicans brought in to testify for the conservative point of view? Diamond and Silk. Okay, so I mean the minstrel show people.
Well, what it shows is that white people are now no longer even allowed to speak. In fact, it's gotten so bad the Republicans for years now have taken the position. So have the Sons of Confederate Veterans and groups like this. If you're a white person, your opinion has to be validated by a black person or some other non-white person to have any substance or.
But her whole thing, was, and it's embarrassing, of course. But her whole thing is, Democrats are the real racists, and they're conjuring up the specter of white violence to help them at the polls. Now, some of that is true. I mean, I don't guess it was a total loss, but you know, for all this conversation about white nationalists, why not have somebody who is white and a
people are totally disqualified now, because if you are white, you are a racist, you are a white nationalist, you are a white supremacist, you're a white separatist. That's what white privilege is all about. Now, it doesn't matter whether you say anything bad about other people. It doesn't matter whether you are, animated by hate. It doesn't matter if you are the most innocuous person and the most friendly towards minorities in the world. You are still the beneficiary of white privilege. And the whole reason that concept was created in the first place is so that you have no wiggle room. If you are white, you are bad.
Well, it's not as though there's an overflow of individuals and organizations who have proven their worth against the test of time with regards to pro-white thought in the public arena. I mean, there's us, There's V-Dare, Amrin. I mean, there's a handful, but no more than that. And I didn't see anybody from any of these organizations, any of our organizations, up there to say what we really believe and to say, put truth to power there. That didn't happen. Anyway, Keith, what did happen? I mean, what did they expect to happen? What did the enemy want to happen? How did it actually play out?
Well, it actually backfired on them. They thought they were going to have straw men up there, non-white people representing white people, falling on the sword, and that this would be the beginning in a new culture war that they were going to launch against white people. There was going to be more and more oppression and suppression of pro-white advocacy or pro-white advocates. There was going to be amped up punishment, amped up marginalization, but it didn't work out that way at all. It's incredible that even the mainstream Republicans started delivering body blows to these people, and the whole thing basically disintegrated as a farce. It was going to be a farce to begin with, but I mean, these people, they couldn't organize a two-car funeral. This is the craziest thing you've ever seen.
So you don't think that the enemy got what they wanted out of this farce?
Well, the media doesn't care. They can sit there and drool on themselves, and they'll report on it as if they were, they made a direct hit, and, the ship of white advocacy is going down, one of those Liberty boats that you saw being hit by a torpedo back in the news footage from World War II. But that wasn't the case.
We got a little more on this coming back from the break, and then a couple of more follow-ups on current events, and then the second and third hour during the month of April, of course, we're going to transition into Confederate history. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
In the headlines this hour, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, reports the E. coli outbreak linked to ground beef. More than 100 people in 6 states sick, including Georgia, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, and Virginia. It is still not known the brand of meat affected.
Some people did something?
President Trump on Twitter tweeting a video of Minnesota Congresswoman Democrat Ilhan Omar making her statement that some people did something on 9/11. She never mentions radical Islamic terrorists. Edited into this video, actual footage from the terrorist attack 17 and a half years ago.
Some people did something?
Right, oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit.
Above this video, President Trump tweeting in all caps, "We will never forget." You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want a more honest media? Hello, my name is Robert Farrow, and I've grown tired of shadow banning, censorship, and one-sided reporting from today's news and social media companies. That's why my team created RightToVoice.com. We don't push aside. That's right, the number 2, and voice. We don't push aside. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. RightToVoice.com. It's the only place where you'll get all the news. It's usually one click to join, so check us out today. RightToVoice.com. We don't push aside. That's right, the number 2, and voice. We don't push aside. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. RightToVoice.com.
President Trump says he's sending more troops to the U.S. border with Mexico, and that's not all. He's considering a plan to release illegal aliens into sanctuary cities like San Francisco, where House Speaker Nancy Pelosi lives, and other places like New York City and Chicago. Here's the president.
California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people. and they want more people in their sanctuary cities, well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply.
An incident at the Mall of America in Minnesota. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
A young boy is in critical condition after plunging three stories at the Mall of America south of Minneapolis. Witnesses say the five-year-old was pushed off the balcony.
We have a report over on the south side that someone just fell from the third floor to the first floor.
We're actively trying to figure out why this occurred, whether it was an interaction up on the floor.
24-year-old Emmanuel Deshaun Aranda was charged with attempted homicide.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I guess we could tell you more about this spectacle, this farce that took place in Congress this week, but what more can we say? It was unserious. It was unserious on the part of the opposition. It was unserious from the so-called conservative defense. They did not want a true conversation about white interest, and they didn't want to have anybody there that actually believes and publicly advocates for the interests of the dispossessed majority. So,
this was exactly the type of conversation on sex.
Well, we could do what's on your mind tonight, Keith?
Look, this is the only. This is exactly the conversation on race that Eric Holder wanted. One-sided with all black people talking all the time.
That's it. All we can say, really, all that you need to know is that a couple of things. Number one, if you have not been named by Congress, then your mindset should be that you have more work to do. Now, people remember, of course, that as we so often say, anything that's happened to any other pro-white advocate happened to TPC first. And we were personally denounced by this very same committee in Congress, the House Judiciary Committee, back in 2015.
Cut their teeth on us.
With several members of Congress going on the record to offer their individual denunciations. So I wrote a written response.
Two-minute hates, as they said in Orwell's 1984. That's what we were subjected to by all the members of Congress that are on that committee.
I wrote a response, an open letter that I also sent to each of the members of Congress who took the time to personally denounce us. I think our very own congressman here in Memphis referred to us as reprehensible, and that was the nicest thing that was said about us that day. But in any event, this is how I responded. I'd like to read it for you if you don't mind. It has been 4 years ago, so let's revisit it. 2015, Congress denounces the political cesspool. In a recent House committee hearing on immigration enforcement, many of you saw fit to delve into Sheriff Paul Babu's appearance on the Political Cesspool radio program in 2010. Just what his appearance on our show has to do with immigration enforcement is a mystery, but for whatever reason, you took advantage of the stage to attack me and our radio show. I am proud to say that the Political Cesspool radio program is pro-white. We have seen the destructive effects of forcing different races and cultures into close association with one another, and we have seen that in almost every instance, white people suffer terrible consequences from it. We hate no one for their skin color, but we think that all people, including white people, have the right of free association with their own people without being insulted or threatened. We deplore violence, save for self-defense. We wish only the best for all races, but we are especially concerned with the welfare and existence of our people, just as Congressman Cohen, who was one of the individuals who denounced us, is especially concerned with the welfare and existence of the Jewish people. And just as Congressman Jeffries, another one who denounced us, is especially concerned with the welfare and existence of black people. This is a congressional caucus. There is a congressional caucus for every race and ethnicity, yet no one for white people. When someone wants to establish advocacy for European Americans, they are immediately and viciously pounced upon and subjected to the vilest venom and toxic rhetoric imaginable. Even on college and university campuses, efforts to establish white student unions are portrayed as the actions of white supremacists. We at the Political Cesspool reject the notions that white people are not entitled to advocacy and are not entitled to the benefits of ethnic cohesiveness enjoyed by every other race. Your source of information about me and the Political Cesspool is the Southern Poverty Law Center, a thoroughly discredited organization. And this was in 2015. Forget about all the stuff that's happened recently with the SPLC, but a thoroughly discredited organization whose reputation has never survived journalistic investigation. Calling itself a quote-unquote civil rights organization that tracks and monitors hate groups, the SPLC is actually a money-making machine that applies inscrutable and dubious criteria to brand as racist people and organizations that they target for demonization to donors. The SPLC doesn't monitor hate groups. It manufactures them via a fundraising scare campaign. Finally, while conspicuous efforts were made to solicit Sheriff Babu to disavow and separate himself from his appearance on the political cesspool, nobody bothered to point out his stunning hypocrisy in being the face of Arizona border security after he started stridently opposing illegal immigration, even as he was simultaneously carrying on a homosexual relationship with an illegal alien. Had we known he was such a hypocrite as well as a degenerate, we would have never invited him on our show, for he is unworthy of our audience. If anyone was sullied by his appearance, it was us. Sincerely, James Edwards, founding host of the Political Cesspool radio program. Folks, that's how a man should answer when Congress denounces him. We don't beg forgiveness from people who are not our moral equals. As proud as I am of our friends and allies, I'm equally proud to be condemned by liars and frauds. And you can know me by the company I keep, as the judges in my libel lawsuit advise when rendering their own ludicrous decision. But you can also know me by my enemies, and an honest man will run from neither. Now, Keith, people ask us all the time, how do we do what we do here on TPC? We've been denounced by Congress. We've been thrown out by our churches. We have been attacked by the media so regularly.
And for what? For nothing.
Faith in Christ, number one. That is number one. Faith in Christ and an unwavering assurance that what we believe in is right and it is not in contradiction with our faith. We are certain we're right on the issues and that our positions on the topics we discuss on this program are not in conflict with our Christian beliefs. And when you are armed with that resolve, you can endure things that most men can't. And our way here at TPC is unique even amongst others in the pro-white movement. We talk about race. We talk about faith. We talk about the South. Christians and Southerners are either overlooked or underserved by most other movement leaders, but that is exactly who we seek to provide comfort and inspiration for here at TPC. And we can't cut out any aspect of our identity and good conscience, so we cover it all. And in this month, we're particularly going to do that with it being Confederate History Month and Easter. Next week, Easter, we're going to have an hour on that. But that makes me very proud. TPC, very special. It's another reason why so many of you support our work. But and it is unique, but a faith in Christ and the solidarity of a listening audience, that is how we can respond to Congress. We didn't run. We posted it on our website, and we sent individual letters to those who condemned us. We sent them that letter that I just read, and that is what a man should do. And if you want leadership, you've got it here, Keith.
No retreat, no apology, no surrender. You know, as Davy Crockett said, his famous life motto, I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right, then go ahead. In other words, don't worry about the political consequences or the fallout among the fashionistas. Be true to yourself, and you can, as Polonius said in Shakespeare's Hamlet, if to thine own self be true, and then you can never be false to any man. That's what we do here. Just think of how the world has turned. Back in 1938, when the House Un-American Activities Committee was formed in Congress, they went after communists. Now communists go after patriots and people that are normal and natural, and white people generally. Now white people are the new communists in America. Well, you know, who'd have thunk it? Who could have imagined in 1938 the changes that would have transpired in American society? And it's like the world has been turned upside down, James.
Well, it has. And if it is going to be restored, if it's going to be put right side up, it isn't going to be from your pissant elected officials. You know, every now and then there was a couple in the news just recently, just within the last couple of weeks, of some low-tier, low-level elected officials who appeared on this show in the past, and they're running scared, you know, for appearances they made 10, 15 years ago almost. And they run and they apologize and they act like they didn't know something. And it's not going to be people like that. It's not even going to be people like Mike Pence. You know, Mike Pence, I can remember during the election of 2016, I was walking through the den and there was a thing on Mike Pence. And they asked him, you know, white supremacist James Edwards, you know, their words, not mine, tweeted out a message of support. How would you answer that? And you know, it's not going to be people like Pence. It's not going to be these people who run and hide, who lead our people, who guide us, who help us find our salvation and our reclamation. It's going to be men who have the courage of their convictions. That's who's going to lead. That's who you're listening to.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about how Brad Griffin seems to be on the jag against boomers.
And we like Brad.
And we like Brad.
And we like boomers.
Yeah.
If they think like us.
but then on the other hand, think about this. You can make the same charges about Christian fundamentalists. You know, people like Mike Pence.
Oh, don't get me started on that. You know
like
I can go on
Gaines
that.
And you know, all of these people. But that doesn't mean that all Christian fundamentalists are bad. Christian fundamentalists, boomers, millennials, you name it. You tell me who has been able to mount an effective counter campaign to turn around the culture war with Jewish power and influence. Brad or anyone else, if you've got somebody that's done it better than the boomers, let us know. All I know is that people like Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, you know.
Well, most of the people we feature on this show, most of our frontline people, Michael Hill, who'll be on tonight.
They're all boomers. You know,
well, as you said, Keith, and I'm an old, I'm the oldest 38-year-old you'll ever see. I'm old at heart and I'm old in spirit, but in the best way possible. But you're right. I mean, you can go up to somebody who's 60 years old, 70 years old, and once you've earned a modicum of trust, they will be honest with you about race. People younger than me, you know, the current college-aged generation, for instance, it's going to be hit or miss at best. Now, we, of course, got a letter in from a college student who believes exactly like us, and there are a lot of them out there, but it's not a guarantee.
It's not a generational thing. Basically, we need to figure out how to win over the 40% of white people that are against us. And after these words from our sponsors, I'm going to show you exactly how that is going to be done.
All right. Hey, he's whetted our appetite. Let's see what the prescription is. Dr. Keith will serve it up next.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, "We're not going to protect that."
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at
1-866-986-6397.
All right, before we get back to Keith, I got to make one more fleeting announcement before we get into the final 2 hours tonight, which is going to center around our Confederate History Month series. Now that we have gotten all of the incentives packages mailed, all the gift packages mailed out from the first quarter fundraising drive that we ran in March, we've got something special we want to announce for the last 2 weeks of this month. Just for the last 2 weeks only, a little supplemental appeal. So Scott Goldsmith, the owner of Dixie Republic, one of our longtime supporters and sponsors, DixieRepublic.com. And he said, James, you know, we did this political cesspool T-shirt a couple of years ago. And it was in royal blue, and it was a beautiful T-shirt. We sent out a lot of those T-shirts to our listeners back in 2016. But he said, how about we do a special one for Confederate History Month in Confederate gray? Okay. So Keith's holding it up right now. So I'm looking at a T-shirt right now. I'm looking at the prototype. On the breast of the first front side, it reads Voice of the South, and it has lightning bolts that are made to resemble the Confederate flag.
Fashioned speaker
coming out of an old-fashioned microphone. Yes. And then on the back it is it reads the Voice of the South with the Confederate flag, again lightning bolts coming out of this old microphone. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. Has our web address and the web address for Dixie Republic. So that is the official TPC t-shirt, except now it's available in Confederate gray. If you would like to have this special edition T-shirt that is made available to you exclusively from Dixie Republic, a donation of $100 or more is going to get you two of them. It's going to get you two of them. Now, they are printing these at a pretty substantial cost because it's a special T-shirt that's not being bulk produced. It's just going to be available to our listeners for the next 2 weeks, $100 or more, and you're going to get two of them, one for you, maybe two for you, or one for a friend, or one for a wife, one for a husband, whatever. But $100 or more between tonight and the end of the month, and you're going to get two of these Confederate gray TPC T-shirts from Dixie Republic. So you can go online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and send in a contribution, or you can mail in a check. If you do it online, send us an email and let us know your sizes, the sizes you would like for these two T-shirts. If you send in a check, let us know on the check and the memo line, or on a note included with the check, the two sizes you would like. And Scott at Dixie Republic is going to mail these directly to you from his store in South Carolina. So bottom line, $100 or more, special supplemental appeal to help fund the work of TPC for Confederate History Month only. The next 2 weeks, two T-shirts are yours, $100 or more. You can mail it in or send it in online. Let us know your sizes, and they're going to be yours, and Scott's going to take care of the shipping. They're going to go out right away. All right, that being said, Keith, to you, you were talking about a solution you had. You also want to talk about a little bit of a follow-up on college admissions and the scandal there, which we've been covering and tracking a little bit more. Get to it all in the next 10 minutes.
Okay, two big topics lately. The first topic was the college admission scandal that broke. Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, and a cast of much wealthier but more obscure people that were bribing and cheating their way into college for their children. They were having other people take their children's SAT tests and ACT tests. They had proctors who were unfairly and changing the answers that their kids had. They were paying money, just like Jared Kushner's father, Ivanka Trump's husband's father, who also went to jail for 5 years for income tax evasion. That's why we had criminal justice reform at the top of the Trump agenda this year. Well, in addition, his father paid $2.5 million for him to get into college. Now, lo and behold, someone is calling these people to task. This type of stuff has been going on for a long time. Who are the victims of it? The victims of it are working class and lower middle class white children, people that are smart enough to get into these colleges, but they don't get in because the wealthy white and Jewish people on one side are paying bribes to get their children in, and on the other hand, the great 800-pound gorilla in the living room couch, minorities who aren't as qualified as these working class and lower middle class white kids get in ahead of them with lower grades, lower test scores, lower everything. But they get in because they're a preferred creature in today's upside down America. Well, that's one of the two items that has caused me to have this epiphany. The other thing that I think is, you know, really important. What were we talking about, James? That other thing was the...
Well, you were going to give us a solution of some sorts.
No. Well, the other thing was... We had first...
I've never seen this man. I have never seen Keith M. I'm having him lose this right now. He's pacing the floor. He doesn't know what to do with himself. No. There were two things. It was college admissions, and it was one other, but I don't.
Oh, the other thing was Trump and the
sanctuary
city.
There you go. Now, how are these two related?
What he's doing is, well, the big question for white people is that 40% of our people don't think like we do. 60% possibly, to a greater or lesser degree, do.
If you get them to be honest with you, now they're not going to be honest to a pollster, and they're not going to be honest at their jobs, and they're not going to be honest in their daily life, but what happens is
a lot of wealthy people, white people, a lot of people that live in areas that don't have large numbers of minorities, like, for example, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, Washington State, Maine, you name it, New Hampshire, Vermont, people like that, they don't have to deal with racial reality. So consequently, it's like George W. Bush said, what's all this about affirmative action? What's all the unfairness? I got into Yale. Of course you did. You got into Yale because you are a privileged individual who's made over 200 points lower on the SAT than I did, but you got into Yale, and Al Gore in the 2000 election made 5 points lower on the SAT than you did, and he actually got into Harvard.
I watched again for the second time. I watched it when it came out, and I believe it was 2007. I watched it again this week. It's the movie W by Oliver Stone. It got an all-star cast, great acting, fantastic acting. James Cromwell, who's a magnificent character actor, he plays Poppy Bush, and there's actually a scene where Poppy explains to George exactly how he got into Harvard in that movie.
No, he got into Yale, but see...
Yale, excuse me, of course.
But see, this is what happens. These people don't have to suffer any consequences for being white, like the working class and lower middle class among us do. They're not kept out of highly selective colleges and universities like Harvard and Yale. Likewise, people like Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, they live in these exclusive gated community neighborhoods or whatnot, and they don't have to deal with the criminality and the poverty that comes along with illegal immigration in their neighborhoods. And Trump, I can just about guarantee you this is going to be one of those situations where when all is said and done, more will be said than done.
How many situations did we run into that are like that, Keith?
All the time. But the fact that they're howling like stuck pigs or squealing like stuck pigs, wrong analogy, okay, about that is giving me an insight on how we need to switch, how we're going to change the minds of the 40% of white people that now are liberals on racial and other issues. Swing them around.
I got to tell you, I wish folks you could see what I see. Once Keith started standing up and pacing like a British barrister, his wits returned. But yeah, Keith, you did leave him hanging in the last segment. You were going to tell him with the 2 minutes we have left in this segment how they were going to switch everybody
here's
over.
Here's how you do it. You do it. It's like Maslow's self-actualization scale. Certain needs need to be met before you can move on to higher needs. Well, one of those lower needs is safety. When these people no longer feel safe, when they think they can be prosecuted for doing what they've done for years, which is bribe and cheat their way into colleges and universities on one hand, and when they think they can live behind their gated, cloistered communities and not have to suffer the consequences of illegal immigration, when they are no longer safe, when those people are pumped into their neighborhood, as Trump has threatened to do, And when they start getting prosecuted and looking at hard jail time for doing what they think it takes to, in order to get their kids into Harvard and Yale, then they're going to feel our pain. They're going to say, my safety requires that I be more realistic on issues like race and illegal immigration and affirmative action. That's the key to all of it. Make them suffer our pain. The thing about the college admission scandal, now the elite are on the receiving end of the anarcho-tyranny that all the rest of us have been suffering under for the past 50 to 60 years. Now it's their turn. And if we can continue to put the heat on them, let them know what it's like to have to live with the consequences of these government policies like affirmative action or non-enforcement of our border and immigration laws, then maybe we can flip them, and we hope that it happens and happens soon because time is running out, James.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, if it was any other month but April, we would have a couple of more hours dedicated to current events and contemporary political topics. But it is Confederate History Month, so when we return in our second hour, we're going to get back down to it. And in the third hour tonight, Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South, I can't wait for this hour. Very excited to present to you Michael Hill's presentation on how Southerners inherited their fighting spirit and style from our Celtic ancestors, all coming your way. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.